Birshus Rabbanim Chashuvim. One can only imagine if the organic world around us was a democratic one, what a terrible system it would be. The Midrash Rabbah at the beginning of this week's parasha, Dvorim Rabbah, says, imagine that the serpent had a conference and all the organs of the serpent got together and decided that today it would be the tail that leads. Says the Midrash, that snake would end up off a precipice. That snake would end up in a fire. And therefore, concludes the Midrash, Hashem says very specifically a mission and model for Klal Yisrael. Havu lachem anoshim chachomim v'nevonim v'yiduim v'shifteichem. Choose, bring forward very discerning, very knowledgeable people. V'asimem b'roshehem, b'roshehem. And they shall be at your head. It is that particularly during times of crisis that we remember this. We remember that we look to the head. We look to those who can guide us, who have perspective beyond us. And therefore it is most appropriate and most fitting that this evening we have the distinct privilege of hearing from Rav Menachem Mendel Bleichman, not only my Rebbe for many, many years, but the Rebbe of so many in this room, the guide to so many of the children, to decades of leaders in this community and around the world. The Rosh Yeshiva, a Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Keren B'Yavneh, and a teacher of many, it is my distinct privilege to call upon Rav Menachem Mendel Bleichman.
Good evening. Okay. You don't trust my voice. Again, good evening. One wonders what to say. One does wonder. There are so many questions. One always looks for answers. Or rather, one has to learn to live without answers. We're convened this evening to pray for Klal Yisrael, to somehow learn what can we take from this situation. And we're here in the Shloshim. Shloshim of three young boys, which most of you probably didn't know, or you're probably not related. And somehow they touch the hearts of all of us. These young boys today are not just family boys, they're our family. They've touched a certain chord in our hearts and the hearts of this whole nation. I'm not sure that I can do justice. Most I can do is try to do what the halacha says, try to make meaning of this and hopefully take something with us. People talk of Shloshim. I've heard so many different addresses and speeches. I choose to do what the halacha says, that although the tzar, the despair, and the pain of the loss of a loved one is precious and special, but actually it's something very normal and natural, to the extent that it isn't even halachically demanded. Rashi writes in Ketubot, Vav Amud Bet, that the tsar of a nifter is actually called tsar de reshut. It's not a religious imperative, for it is normal. It doesn't have to be commanded. Those who know the codes know there are many major mega halachic values which have not been put down as a religious imperative, but rather a major religious value. Yes, despair and pain over the loss of a dear one is normal. It doesn't have to be commanded. What is commanded? What is commanded to us? Is there a commandment for us to be here tonight? Is there any halachic meaning outside of tefillah? I think yes. I'd like to read a Rambam for you, if you don't mind, and to point out the halachic significance of this evening. Rambam writes in Hilchot Avelut, the 13th chapter, the 14th halacha, Kol mi she'eino mitabel kvi shitzivu chachamim, harei ze achzari. He who does not mourn the way our sages had commanded us to mourn is callous, lacks sensitivity. Ella, but rather, what should one do? What does one do when such a thing happens to a family, to a neighborhood, to a nation? Yifached. He should be afraid. Yidag. He should be very concerned. He or she, rather. Yifashvesh b'masav. One must go through some kind of introspection. Yachzor b'tshuva. And must somehow return to a primary sense of self. And what does that mean? We must be concerned what we must be concerned about. But before we say that, the Rambam adds one more line. That halachic demand of being concerned, which is the underpinnings of avelus, concern and introspection, is an imperative to all people who have been touched by this death. Echad mibnei chabura shemet tidag kol chabura kula. Maimonides takes this out of some kind of metaphor and a godic idea and says that the same da'aga, the same concern that a family has for the loss of a dear one is the halachic imperative of all those who are touched by the lives and the death and the missing of those people who have left us. Whether I talk today of those three boys, or whether I talk about the 10 that died today, or the numbers. Echad mibnei chabura shemet does not just mean a neighborhood. It means anybody that's somehow been touched by the lives and the passing of these holy souls. The halacha demands from us all, tida'ag kol achabura kula, we must all be concerned. What is this concern that we are talking about? What do we take with this? The Rambam continues and describes what the concern is. Koshloshit yamim rishonim, the first 3 days of what we call the Shiva, yireet atzmo ki ilu cherev munachet lo ktefo. One feels mortality. One feels that death is imminent. One feels that you now do not live forever. And the sword lies on your shoulders. That's called pachad. That freezes you. That's debilitating. Mishlosha v'ad shiv'a munachet b'keren zavit. From the 3rd until the 7th day of Shiva, you're very much aware of it. The sword lies in the corner. Mikan ve'elech, from then and onward, for the rest of your life, overt kenegdo b'shuk, it passes opposite you in the street. Kol ze, all this kidei lachin et atzmo, to prepare oneself, lachzol, to return to a natural state of consciousness, to religious awareness, to sensitivities, to priorities. V'yeor, wake up for goodness sakes. V'areyu omer, the pasuk teaches us, Hikita otam, you smit them. We've been hurt. Velo chalu, and they haven't shooken up. Miklal, one derives from this, from the Navi, shetarich lakitz v'lachul, one must wake up and tremble. The Rambam has taught us what the agah of Abnei Chabura is, what avelut really is. Of course, the pain over young lives is very acute. The pain of the loss of a dear one is very painful. But the obligation is not just to be sit there and think of pain, of loss, but rather the fact that we encounter mortality. Allah mavet b'chaloneinu, death has come in through the windows, unexpected. Not through the front door at the age of 95 going on 120. It's come in through the windows. Young people. Whether it be the young three boys that we prayed and so much for, whether all this death of young people in the last 2 weeks. Allah mavet b'chaloneinu, there's death. Can we start counting and talking names? God knows when it will end and how it will end. But one thing we can do, yid'ag, we should show concern. For we must understand that we once again, as a nation, have encountered mortality. The stable life that we enjoy. The todays which become tomorrows and yesterdays with batting an eye. They actually end. They're not there forever. One wonders, what does one take with this? What does one take with a thing like this? You know, I remember when 9/11 occurred. And I read an article about last-minute conversations, phone calls. Do you know how many times people called up their spouses and their children to say, I love you? To say, I'm sorry? That shook me. And I wondered, does one have to be in such a situation to say, I love you and I'm sorry? But isn't it enough to encounter mortality and death to understand that every minute is precious? Isn't it enough to counter that death and mortality to understand that relationships have to be real? Shouldn't we be better parents, better spouses, better partners, better neighbors? Shouldn't we care about what we say and what we do? We don't live forever. We do not live forever. Hikita otam velo chalu, mikan shitzarich lachul. We've got to wake up. We don't have to wait for more. I do not know why God does this to us. There have been so many answers thrown around. We daven for this and we daven for that. There's no greater Kiddush Hashem, no greater Kaddish. That was said by Rachel Sprecher Frankel, walking to the Kotel, meeting a bunch of children on the way to Yom Tefillah. She says, Al tishkechu, don't forget. This may not end up okay. Aval tishkechu, anachnu ovdim bishvilo, hu lo oved bishvilenu. We serve God. He doesn't work for us. That's what Rachel said. That was the greatest Kaddish I've heard in my life. See, Kaddish is about acknowledging the greatness of God. It's interesting. Person passes away, and we pray, let the name of God, the glory of God, be revealed in this world at all levels of consciousness. Why? Why? The answer is very quite simple, my friends. The Pasuk says in Yeshayahu, Kol hanikra b'shmi, all called by my name, all that I have created, lichvodi, it was for my honor, God says, brativ, I created it, yitzartiv, I formed it, afasitiv, I actually brought it into existence. Ramban, Nachmanides elaborates on this in quite a few places, how the goal of our existence, each and every one of us, of all of history, is to realize that there is one God and we are created by Him. The name of the game is His. And we somehow reveal Him in our lives and live that. The great name of God, every Jew, is another part of that puzzle. Each one in this room and each Jew in history is another revealer of another aspect of godliness in our lives and in our death. We each have our mission. We've brought to this world each one with his or her own toolkit, capabilities, situations, and we must somehow learn to live moral, ethical lives of religious awareness. Where and where we go. And no one is like anybody else. Because if you would be like anybody else, you would never have been brought into existence. This beautiful mosaic of creation, starting from the beginning of history and ending whenever God chooses to end it, is a beautiful piece of art. It's a beautiful symphony orchestra of each one of us, all through history, must play his own or her own unique note. And if anybody is gone, somehow there's a piece, there's an instrument missing in the great orchestra. And the little piece of Kavod Shamayim, which will not be there anymore. And we pray, Yitzgadal v'yitzgadash mei rabah, let the great glory of God finally be revealed. And then our lives will begin to finally add up. You see, in Hilchot Ta'anit, we have the same halacha. In an etzara, when things aren't good in history, when there's a milchama, when there's war, there's a mitzvah asay to pray. Rambam Hilchot Ta'anit Perek Aleph elaborates on it. Mitzvah lizok v'la'aria. We pray in such instances as we've done today. But what for? One would expect the reason is because we want an answer. Yet the Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam says, you know what it's for? Kol ze midarkei ha'tshuva. Another way of being introspective, of changing, of growing, of being a bit more real. Rambam says, Im lo yizaku v'lo yariyu, if you will not pray, they will not scream. Ele yomru davar ze miminaga olam. Well, this is a natural occurrence. What can we do? We're Jewish. They beat us up. Must get it done. My grandfather got beat up in Grodno. My grand-grandfather got beat up in Volozhin. Right, me and my soilam, we've been beat up. Kolze mi mikra mi dake shel oilam. Hareze derech achzarit. This is once again callous. One cannot just be resigned to such situations. Abavozol mentan, what could we do? Well, thank God we can do a bit. But what can we do here? The answer is we must understand that this is not Mikra, this comes from God. And the Rambam says, Shebiglal Maseim Hura Lahem. I'm not God's judge, I'm not God's jury, I'm not God's advocate. But I know what Halacha says. We've got to become better people. We've got to become people who live with a religious awareness. We've got to become people that understand that every minute of life counts. So whether it's avelut or whether it's sara, whether it's praying or whether it's mourning, our focus is take the moment in which things are unstable. Flip it. And understand the only true stability lies in appreciation of the minute. Understand that there is a God in heaven that you don't always understand. And we pray for Gilui, for the revelation of his great name. Now, what does that mean? I know how to read it. I read it. Don't pronounce it, but I read it. What don't I know? We daven thrice daily and we say Aleinu. And in Aleinu at the end we say Vaya Bayom Ahu Yiyeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. The day will come where there will be one God with only one name. One wonder. Does that mean we believe in the Trinity at the moment? Do we have a few gods now? The Gemara asked the question in Pesachim Nunamid Aleph. The Gemara says, Atu Aidna Lav Echad Hu. And now there's two gods. The Gemara says, yeah. We live a life in which we feel there are two types of God. There's the good one, and there's the one we really don't understand. There's the one that we say, we encounter, we say, you know, I still remember that when my first daughter was born, and my second. I made a beautiful bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam HaTov VaMitiv. Thank you. I was really very happy. But there are times in life that you can't say that bracha. And you say, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Dayan HaEmet. I want to know more about you, God, Lord, which is the true judge. There are times that God is good. There are times it's very hard to say he's good. But you resign yourself to say, but he is just and he plays his game and he knows what he's doing. And you live in a dichotomy between the God which is good and the God which you don't feel that good about. On a personal note, I must say that every Yom Kippur, I say Kaddish for my 2-year-old brother. He was burnt in Auschwitz. And for years, I carry this Gemara in my heart. So much Jewish blood and pain. Is it good? Do you have the answer? Does anybody have the answer? And the Jewish approach to this is, don't look for an answer. Acknowledge that he knows what he's doing. Dayan HaEmet, it is not an easy thing to say. And yet you're supposed to say this bracha, according to Rambam, b'tuv lev. You're supposed to be okay with it, not b'simcha. Rambam says, an tova meitiv, you do it b'simcha. But on Dayan HaEmet, you do it b'de ashlema u'b'tuv lev. The Bach in Er Chaim Reish Chaf Beis says, the reason being, you know, to acknowledge God and to accept him even when things are rough is Avodah Gdolah. It's a great service. It's not easy. It's actually quite hard. But you grow with that. You're catapulted up to a higher level of awareness. And that is your simcha. That makes you happy. You've grown, you've matured, you've cashed in on a very hard time in life, and you've grown religiously. Yitkadal v'yitkadash me'rabah means, Bayom ahu, there will come a day, the Gemara says, that all that which today makes no sense will become good. We will actually somehow understand history, and we will appreciate it. And don't ask me what it means. I think it's mad, but it's the truth. Yiyeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, the Gemara says, Kulo Hatov V'Ameitiv, it will actually be good for us. Don't ask me what it means, I don't know. It's just comfort by the fact that now I know it's just and it's directed. The future will somehow make it make sense. Yitgadal V'Yitgadash Shmei Rabbah, yes, let God's name be glorified. That great name of Dayan HaEmet ultimately graduate and elevate and be understood as the God of Atov V'Amitiv. That's what we take in our Daga, in our Pishpush. We understand it is God's world and not ours. And we don't have answers. Why did three young boys have to die that way? And why did so many have to die? Why can't we be a normal people? Why must the Jews be the scapegoats of history? God. I don't know. And no one dare say he knows. We don't know. Our job is, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Dayan HaEmet. But what do we take from this? Every minute counts. Life is not forever. Say thank you. Say sorry. Say I love you. Every day. Always. Don't wait. We have today. We had yesterday. God knows about the tomorrow. And I just want to add a note. We've been touched by this thing. And I was wondering why. What touched this nation? Why are people in the five towns getting together about this? And it's beautiful. But, you know, you try to analyze it. And I'll tell you what I think. You know, every story has its context. Each person's life has a certain context. Whether a familial context, a communal context. But in truth, each one of our stories have a historical context. But we don't really realize it. We don't realize that whatever we do has a butterfly effect on history. And God knows what this will do to other people, for good and for bad. Do we really know what one little story, what one little word can do? What a smile can do and what the opposite can do? Do we understand the context of history? Something beautiful happened. Naphtali, Ayal, Gilad. And the endless names, I think of Sean, Max, those lone soldiers which 20,000, 30,000 people which did not know them came to their funerals. You know what happened? Suddenly we realize the context of their lives. Their story is not the story of the Shar family, of the different families. Their story is the story of Am Yisrael. We saw them and we see them not in light of their families and their neighborhoods. We see them in the broad context of Jewish history. Yes, whatever the reason for history is, I do not know. But that's what we saw. We're sitting here today and feel we are Bnei HaChabura. We are part of that Jewish history. We are part of the nation that has reclaimed its national identity. We are part of a generation which is no more just splintered single people, but we've gained a national awareness. And in that national awareness, these souls shine bright. Yes, the story is, can we always look in the big picture? Can we always, in our relationships and whatever we do, see the broad picture and the context? Always remember how everything is so much more than just today. Everything we do, think or say, will touch the tomorrow and who knows how much further. Just want to end with a letter that Chayal of Golani wrote to his girlfriend, left it before he went to war in Chomat Magen. I'll translate liberally in English. My beloved, there's nothing more I'd want to do than to be with you, to love you, to raise a family. But there's more I want to do than to go out on this campaign. To war against these despicable people, those who are terrorists, etc. Let them know that whatever they do, there will be a price to pay. And I know we will pay a price. Ava ani muchan liyot hamechir hazeh. But I am willing to be that price. There speaks the voice of history. Let that be the end. Let's try to live the life of today, tomorrow. Good evening.
Before Maariv, we will conclude with the Tchina, the prayer of Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael.
Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael. Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael. Hanesunim betzoro, betzoro v'shivyo, omdim bein bayom Uvein bayaboshom. Achenu kol beis Yisrael. Achenu kol beis Yisrael. Hanesunim betzoro, betzoro v'shiviyop, omdim bein bayam, vein bayaboshom. Hamokom yirachem, yirachem aleihem, v'yoytziyem mitzoro, li Shibor legiyula hashtom bagola ovizman korim hamokom yerachem yerachem aleihem v'yotziyem mitzoro le. Shibur legiyula hashtom bagola ovizman korim. La 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 Hashiveinu Hashem Shemelecho Venoshuvacha Desh Yomeinu Shomeinu Kikedem Veinu Hashem Shemelecho Venoshuvacha Desh Yomeinu Shomeinu Kikedem.
Thank you, everyone. We're going to Daven Ma'ariv and Daven at next year. Yirtzeh Hashem, Kora Alay Moed. These days will be days of joy for all of Klal Yisrael.